So we have worked in the call and response from Shipwrecked multiple times into the message today. So the children and volunteers are welcome to shout out just like they did at Vacation Bible School. So let's practice them. There we go. And see if we remember. All right. When you're lonely.
Jesus rescue.
When you struggle.
Jesus rescue.
When you do wrong.
Jesus rescue.
And when you're powerless. Nicely done. Keep your ears on. That is not going to be the last time you hear them. All right, change is an inevitable part of all of our lives, as much as we would prefer it not to be so. Parents wish their kids would stay this age or that age. Children want this teacher to be their teacher forever. A favorite phase of our life that we wish would never end. But as so often is the case, after we enter a new phase, we find joy and happiness we never would have found. We never would have found this joy and happiness had we not had to change to experience it. Watch this.
I am never getting married.
Never.
Guaranteed.
You picked a beautiful ring.
Thank you. We're never having kids.
Breathe. Come over here.
We are never moving to the suburbs.
We are never getting one of those. We're never having another kid.
I'm pregnant.
I'm never letting go.
For all the nevers in life, State Farm is there.
Okay, be honest now. How many of us have said the same thing about a minivan and have owned a minivan? Hello, my name is Brandon. I've said the same thing and I've owned two minivans now. Not at the same time, because that would be insane. Now, it can be sad to leave one phase of life, absolutely sad, but boy, the joys that come with the change, with the next phase that we enter. Not all change is bad. Not all change is like a storm. Some change brings incredible joy. Our last film in this series is Cars 3. It's a meditation on change and moving into a new phase of life through the eyes of talking animated cars. It's the story of Lightning McQueen. He was a famous race car. He had everything going for him, fame, popularity, friends, meaning, and purpose, until one day an appropriately named car was going to ruin everything for him. Watch this.
Sponsors happy today?
Stop winning, for crying out loud. We're running out of bumper cream to sell.
Lightning McQueen.
Hey, Big Tex, how's my favorite competitor?
Just say the word and I'll boot Cal off the Donico team and replace him with you.
You know I can hear you, right? I'm right here.
Bye, Cal. See you next week.
Or not.
Oh, come on now.
I'm joking.
Go, little buddy. And Big Buddy King.
Another great finish in the making. McQueen and Swift, nose to nose.
How's the view back there, Bobby?
Well, you better not blink. I'll blow right past you.
The flag is out. It's the final stretch. McQueen in the lead.
Okay, let's see what you got.
Woo-wee.
Jackson Storm for the win.
A huge upset.
Neither Lightning or Bobby ever saw him coming.
It's one thing to start fast, but we haven't seen anyone cross the line with that kind of speed and power since a young Lightning McQueen first arrived on the scene.
Hey, Bobby, who is that?
That's, Jackson Storm.
Yeah, he's one of the rookies.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey. Jackson Storm, right? Great race today.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. McQueen. You have no idea what a pleasure it is for me to finally beat you.
Oh, thanks. Wait, hang on. Did you say meet or beat?
I think you heard me.
What?
Change happens. We move on to different places, different focuses in our lives, and relationships naturally evolve. We may get separated from this person we love spending time with, not because anything changed, not because we chose to not spend time with them, but life just evolved. Sometimes storm enters our lives, storms enter our lives and cause pain and suffering and grief and loss. In McQueen's case, and at a movie targeted at a younger audience, it is a literal car named Storm that upended everything. It upends everything from how McQueen's friends are forced to retire, a damaging car wreck for McQueen, and we're not sure if he's ever going to race again. We don't know. When life changes around us rapidly or slowly, where is our anchor? Where do we grasp when life changes around us faster than we could ever have imagined? The author of Hebrews gives us the answer. Well, traditionally, the book of Hebrews is thought to be written by Paul, the great missionary and church planter who transformed from eliminating Christians. There are a lot of stylistic differences. Just one, Paul, in all of his other letters, he introduces himself and says, "This is Paul writing you this letter. My name is Paul." But Hebrews, the author here, doesn't do that. So we think Hebrews might have been written by Barnabas. He traveled with Paul for a while. Hebrews could have been written by Apollos. We learned about him in the book of Acts. I even had a seminary professor who theorized that Hebrews could have been written by a woman. And he theorized that because we can't ever find the author. We don't know who wrote it. And so in a time when men had all the cards, had all the control, it's possible that a woman could have written the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was written for the two religious Christians. That's how the Message Bible intros this book. Hebrews is written to the two religious Christians. That's a funny thing for a pastor to say, right? You're too religious. You can never have too much of God or faith or love or obedience or worship. That's all good. But we can add religious things on top of the simple way of following Jesus. In the first century, two religious Christians were trying to follow Jesus and angels. They were following Jesus and Moses, or Jesus and the priesthood. Today, we do similar things with Jesus and politics, or Jesus and money, or Jesus and Buddha, or Jesus and fame. We're supposed to follow Jesus, and all of those things change because we follow Jesus. Our politics are different because we follow Jesus. We look at money differently because we follow Jesus. Hebrews gets us back to what really matters, focusing on following Jesus alone. In the very last chapter of the book, we're given the place of where we need to put our anchor when storms rage and roar around us. Hebrews 13 reads like one of the end of Paul's letters, even though it probably isn't. You read this chapter, and it's like the author realized they're running out of room, so they cover like 20 topics right at the very end of the book. They tick off a number of things. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Show hospitality to everyone. Remember those mistreated and in prison. Remain faithful in your marriage. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. And then we hear, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Who are the mentors? Who are the leaders? Who are the parents for you in faith that you look up to? Remember how they lived. Look at their examples of their lives of faith. Follow their faith because their faith is in Jesus, the anchor that never changes. Jesus is the one who keeps us stable when life and storms roar around us and we cannot imagine how we're going to get through. Jesus is that anchor. Everything around us may change. It may all fall apart. It might all be renewed, but Jesus never leaves us or forsake us. Because when you're lonely, Jesus rescues. When you struggle, Jesus rescues. When you do wrong, Jesus rescues. And when you're powerless, Jesus rescues. Jesus is the place we set our anchor as life can change around us faster than we can blink our eyes. McQueen has a tough time dealing with all the change around him. He's not sure if he's going to race ever again. So after an accident, he is moping. He doesn't know what to do. And so his friend Sally brings some advice. Watch this.
Hey, Stickers.
Hey, Sal.
How you feeling?
Yeah, great. Really, really great.
Been thinking about Doc again?
Yeah. You know, they told him when he was done. He didn't decide.
I don't want what happened to Doc to happen to me.
But that hasn't happened.
No, but I can't go out on the track and do the same old thing. It won't work.
Then change it up. Try something new.
I don't know, Sally.
Don't fear failure. Be afraid of not having the chance. You have the chance. Doc didn't. And you can either take it or you can do what you've been doing, sitting in here for months. And by the way, I love what you've done with the place. I mean, the monster movie lighting and the musky air freshener. And don't let anyone tell you you're not working that primer, because, wow, I have never found you more attractive. And now that I've been in here for a couple minutes, the stench, I'm getting kind of used to it.
Okay, Sal, I get it. I get it.
I miss you, Lightning. We all do.
Try something new, huh?
Looks good, doesn't it?
Hey, guys.
What do you think?
What do I think? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a cozy, humble little place.
Guys, how did you ever do this?
You want to tell them or should I tell?
No, you start. Go ahead, go ahead.
We sold Rusty's.
Eh?
What?
What, you think a couple of jabronis like us could do this on our own?
Wait, you sold Rusty's?
It's all good news. We just realized that you needed something that we couldn't give you. It felt like the time was right for us, too. I mean, we're not as young and handsome as we look.
Oh, that's true.
Besides, this Sterling fellow, he's got every high-tech thing you'll ever need. Everything we wanted to give you, but couldn't.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sterling? Who's Sterling?
Lightning!
Well, I sure am gonna miss racing for you guys.
You know, you gave us a lot of great memories, Lightning. Memories we'll remember.
Wow, that's good.
Hey, Lightning, whatever you do,
don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother! Please, no pictures.
Okay, maybe one. Get my good side, though, will you?
Just keep coming for McQueen. His sponsors move on, which I love, by the way, are the Car Talk guys. Nice touch. And he continues. McQueen says he's going to try to be a racer again with a new sponsor. His respect and his admiration for his mentor, Doc Hudson, who had died previously, is going to carry him through all these changes that he's going to see. This is an incredibly unsettled time for Lightning McQueen. The earliest Christians and the earliest followers of God, they were very familiar with unsettled times. Paul had at least one shipwreck and faced angry leaders seemingly constantly. Disciples were run out of town by mobs. There were wars that destroyed entire cities. The earliest followers of Jesus looked toward all kinds of people in Scripture as their inspiration to be shaped like them so they could deal with their own change and unsettled times and upheaval around them. The earliest disciples were there and our inspiration for how we place our faith in Jesus as the anchor of our lives. Two chapters before in Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, we get this partial list of people of faith throughout the ages. You get a great definition of faith that you've probably seen stitched onto various pillows and as memes on the internet. It's a great passage. And then from there, we get all these examples of what faith looks like over 5,000 plus years. And these are people that were faithful through incredibly difficult and unsettled times. We read by faith. We understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man. God showed approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who sincerely seek him. Friends, that is still so true today. Anybody who wants to get to know God, the first step, the first way we place our anchor in Jesus, despite any doubts we might have of God's existence, is to place our faith in God. We can know God will meet us there, despite any questions or doubts or misgivings we have. God rewards those who sincerely seek him through any questions we might have. Hebrews 11 continues through a few more heroes. But we don't get too far through the Old Testament. We only get up to the promised land. We get into like Joshua, and we're running out of paper. We're running out of papyrus again. So we read, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice. They received what God had promised them. They shut the mouth of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. If that's what faith is, man, sign me up. I'll be a part of that. I want to be strong. I want my weaknesses to be turned to strength. I want my life to mean something. I want my life to have meaning and purpose. Those are some incredible stories and people of God changing lives in the world. That is what it means to place our anchor in Jesus. God can work through us like that. It is very possible God could work through us to influence kingdoms and save lives, absolutely. But there's also a possibility we could be laughed at and scoffed at and suffer for Jesus. Because you keep reading. Others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. I'm not as excited to sign up for the second part. I would have preferred to stop at verse 35, but the reality is not everyone respects faith in Jesus. Not everyone believes, and some places on the planet still today are hostile to faith. When we place our hope, when we set our anchor in Jesus, we are able to weather any change that comes into our lives because of Jesus. These examples, these heroes of faith guide us, as well as the examples we have sitting next to us this morning. We see in the stories of saints gone by and saints sitting here today that when you're lonely, thank you, Becca, when you struggle, when you do wrong, and when you're powerless, McQueen decides to seek out his mentor's mentor. Two generations back, he needs someone to guide him through this unsettled time. And so he learns something about his own mentor, Doc Hudson, through this process. Watch this.
You got the first part right. The crash broke Hud's body, and the no more racing broke his heart. He cut himself off, disappeared to Radiator Springs. Son of a gun didn't talk to me for 50 years. But then one day, the letters started coming in. Last one of them was about you. Yeah. Hud loved racing. But coaching you? I'd never seen the old grump so happy. Racing wasn't the best part of Hud's life. You were.
You ready to blow out a little carbon there, boy?
Yes, I am.
Throttle, you in the tulips. Hey, Lightning, you might want to take notes on this. You got a lot of stuff, kid.
Thank you.
Bud saw something in you that you don't even see in yourself. Are you ready to go find it?
Yes, sir.
So Doc Hudson had a hard time making that transition from racer to mentor. It actually took him 50 years to embrace a new phase of life. But once he did, he found the best part of his life was mentoring McQueen. So as we live through changes in our own lives, we may never know the joy that lies around the corner until we fully embrace that change. Much like the commercial we saw, we find joy and contentment enjoying and embracing each phase of life as we move through it. Hudson inspired McQueen long after he was gone, and he learns from this new mentor. So besides the heroes of the faith and scripture and those sitting around us today, who else inspires you? Who else shapes you? There are other historical figures and authors and athletes who inspire us. Who else encourages us to take steps of faith in the vein of the heroes from Hebrews 11? I'm going to share with you three of mine as we wrap up this morning. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the 20th century pastor who lived in Nazi Germany, and he was executed in a concentration camp in the 40s. When you read his words written in the 40s, it reads as if he's writing to the church in 2018. Bonhoeffer tells it like it is, challenging the church for only taking the nice, warm, fuzzy parts of Jesus' teaching and ignoring the rest. One of my favorite quotes of his, "The church is only the church when it exists for other people." I'm going to brag on you, Legacy, a bit this morning. We know that most churches give 0.35% of their income to projects outside the walls of their church. Hear me, 0.35%, less than 1%. Last year, when you put everything together that we did, including our building project, our general fund, we gave away 14% of what came in to projects outside the walls of our church. That's incredible. There are people on our administrative team that would love to see that at 51%. We are not there yet, but who knows? We could get there. We are trying to be the church that exists for other people. Qualities that I love in Bonhoeffer and I admire, his boldness, his courage, and his faithfulness to speak reality as it is. Second, Alan Hirsch. He's a living 21st century missional theologian. Some similarities to Bonhoeffer here. He's trying to get the church outside of the walls of the church to meet people where they are. A couple of favorite quotes of his. "Christianity is the adventure of spirits, or it's not Christianity. The standard churchy spirituality doesn't require any action, courage, or sacrifice from its attendees. And there is no doubt that to walk with Jesus means to walk on the wilder side of life." Qualities I like in Hearst is trying to recover a Jesus that can be sanitized from the institutional church. And last, Jean-Luc Picard, fictional captain of the Federation Starship Enterprise. Now, I didn't say the people that inspire you necessarily had to be real people. Now, I'm not inspired by his faith because he would be a secular humanist, but what I am inspired by is his leadership style and his adventurous spirit. He is not dictatorial. He's collegial. He learns from his team. He lets his team be leaders where they are. He is absolutely the boss. He's absolutely the leader, but he does not have to look like it all the time. So find people that inspire you to live a life of faith, whether they're fictional or real, athletes, whatever. Find them in the vein of Hebrews 11 to find other examples of how we can place our anchor in Jesus despite what doubts you may have. There's a great other plot in this movie of McQueen mentoring a new person, mentoring Cruz Ramirez. And it ends up being this movie that focuses on three generations of mentors. And Cruz wins this final competition, and she wins by mixing the old with the new. And as we seek to be a people that place our anchor in Jesus alone, we do well to follow that example, to blend the ancient and the modern, to follow the ancient path and modern ways so we can anchor in Jesus alone. Jeremiah was a prophet during upheaval in Israel's history. He was encouraging them to get back to the ancient ways, and what he says still rings true for us today. This is what the Lord says: "Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path. You'll find rest for your souls. But you reply, 'No, that's not the road that we want. I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of alarm. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention.' I love it. Look for the old godly ways and walk in it. That's worship and prayer and scripture reading and Christian community. Those are the ancient ways we walk in, and we do it in a modern way that will help us find grounding and rest and restoration for our souls. Unfortunately, Jeremiah's people did not listen, and they suffered for generations due to their lack of action. So friends, today, may we place our anchor for life in Jesus, despite any doubts or questions we may have, because we know that when you're lonely, when you struggle, when you do wrong, and when you're powerless, may we look to the heroes of faith long gone or sitting right next to us this morning for inspiration as life changes around us. And when we're faced with decisions and crossroads, may we walk the ancient path in modern ways to place the anchor for our lives in Jesus. Let us pray together. Lord, you are the anchor when our life is going well and when everything seems to come apart. Help us to put our faith and trust in you, regardless of any questions or fears we may have. May we walk the ancient paths in modern ways that restore our souls and give us the way to see the joy in each new phase of life. We lift up all the prayers, spoken and unspoken, today. We pray together throughout the ages with disciples long gone in the way you taught them to pray, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."